In his New York Times best-selling book, author Mark Batterson wrote this: "Prayers are prophecies. They are the best predictors of your spiritual future. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life." That's a bold statement, but I believe it to be true so much that I want to talk to you today about how to be bold in our prayers as we continue in this series we've been in and we started last week called Bold. And as we talked about last week, being bold means to be confident and courageous, showing the ability to take risks for the kingdom of God. And so we've talked about how we want to be more confident and courageous for the cause of Christ and take greater risks to advance the kingdom. And the big idea of this series is this: when we move boldly in obedience, God moves boldly on our behalf. This is so important to understand. If we want to see God move boldly in our lives, we have to learn how to take bold steps of obedience. Now, if you're new to church, maybe you're new to God, this is your first Sunday, and you're just like, man, Pastor Aaron, you know, I don't even know anything yet, and you're talking about be bold in your faith, you know. I want to encourage you today, because I believe bold action and bold faith starts with learning how to pray bold prayers. And we see this in the story that we looked at last week in Acts chapter 4. And so I want to pick up that story where we left off last week. If you remember, or if you missed last week, we found Peter and John right after the resurrection of Jesus. And they're declaring their faith in Jesus to the people. And they've even healed someone and done a great miracle. And they're explaining to everyone why this is happening. And they get arrested. And it says that the thing that the rulers noticed about Peter and John was their boldness, their confidence in Christ, their courage, and their taking a risk for the name of Jesus. And that stood out to them. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. Now, they wanted to kill them for talking about Jesus, and lawfully they could have done. This was the same ruling body that condemned Jesus to the cross. And so they talk about it, and they're wanting to condemn them to die as well, but they realize the common people, the city people, the whole city loves these guys, because these guys are doing miracles, they're healing people, they're passing out food to people in need, they're meeting all these practical needs. And so the majority of the city loves these guys. And so they realize, man, if we kill them, this city could rebel. They could rebel against us. And so they're scared of the people. And for that reason, they decide, you know what? We're not going to kill them. And they bring them in front of them and they warn them not to talk about Jesus anymore. They threaten them that if they do, there will be severe consequences, even death. And then they let them go. And after they let them go, that's where I want to pick up the story today. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. And it says this. It says, "Being let go, they," Peter and John, "went to their own companions," which is the church, "and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." So when they heard that, when the church heard about this persecution, the threats, the trials that they were enduring, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and they said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said." And they quote Psalm chapter 2, the second psalm here. And they say, "Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ," or Messiah. "For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand to be done." And so they get together, it says they raise their voice with one voice. And the word there in the Greek is singular. With one voice, they all pray together in one accord. So in other words, most likely what happened is they get together, they hear about these trials and these persecutions and these threats, and one person who has some faith stands up and begins to pray. And everybody else agrees with what they're praying. If you've ever been to a prayer meeting, or maybe on a Sunday when someone stands up here and prays, and like you might not know what to pray for if you were up there, but when someone starts praying and you're like, yes, yeah, I agree with that. Oh, that's good. And they're like, amen, amen, yes, that's good. And so they lift their voice with one accord and they're praying together. And I just want to point out here that they talk about the persecution they're suffering, how they killed Jesus. And when they get together, they're not saying, oh, Lord, why is this happening? God, why? Why us? They're being so unfair, God. They're treating us badly. They're picking on us. God, why is this happening? That is not what they said. They quote the Psalms and they say, we know exactly why this is happening because your word told us this was going to happen, that when your Messiah comes, the nations are going to plot and try to kill him. And so we know exactly why this is happening because you've determined in advance this is what's going to happen. In other words, they're not asking why because they accept and they receive. This is all part of your sovereign plan, God. In other words, they're saying, we trust you, God, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our trials and persecutions. We trust you in this. And then they say this, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, listen to this, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, meaning kind of like an earthquake, only they knew it wasn't an earthquake. They knew that God was moving boldly and answering their prayer. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? Say that with me. Boldness. So think about this. They have just boldly declared Jesus to the rulers who have the authority to kill them for doing it. And their response to that is to go back and pray for more boldness. And the way they want this to happen is for God to do a sign, a miracle, a wonder. In other words, they're saying, God, we want you to move boldly in our midst because we want everyone to see that you're real, that you're still a miracle working God. And that's exactly what God does. You see, it's no coincidence. God moves boldly in response to the bold prayers of his people. And so I'm convinced if we want to see God move boldly in our lives and in the lives of our community, of our county, and of our country, we need to start praying bolder prayers. So let me ask you a convicting question. What's the boldest prayer that you've been praying lately? You ever think about it like that? What's the boldest prayer that I've been praying lately? I myself can be convicted of that sometimes because sometimes our prayers are far too small, I'm convinced. Think about that. Maybe you're convicted by that. Maybe the answer to that question for you is like, man, the prayer I've been praying most lately is, Lord, be with me today. You know? You ever pray a prayer like that? Lord, just, you don't even know what to pray. You're like, oh, I got so much going on. Lord, just be with me. You realize that's already a reality. Like, he is with you, all right? I think sometimes God's like, and? Like, check. And? Right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like sometimes, like your marriage isn't going that great. And maybe your prayer is something like, Lord, just be with me. Help me endure because my husband's a jerk and he's not even going to do the dishes on Mother's Day for me. And Lord, it's just not going. Just help me get through this, you know? Lord, help me endure it with my kids. They don't even know it's Mother's Day. They're not even going to get me a card. Lord, just be with me today, right? Lord, just help me endure this job. I've been in it 20 years. It's been terrible. 19 years, 364 days. There was that one day I took off. But anyways, Lord, just be with me today. Help me get through it, right? I'm wondering if we need to pray more boldly today. I'm convinced so many of our prayers are not bold enough because we're praying for God to treat the symptoms rather than going after the root. See, what if instead of God, help me get through it, God, you know, just help me endure, God, just, you know, just be with me. What if it was, you know what, God, absolutely wreck my husband's heart for you and help him to love me as Christ loves the church. Completely change his life and help him to be more in tune with you than I am. God, just completely get a hold of my kids. God, you know what? Forget helping me endure the job. I haven't liked this job for 20 years. God, get me a new job that pays double the salary of my current job. How about that? How about, instead of, oh, God, help me endure, oh, this back pain, oh, this. How about, God, you know what? Heal my body completely. You know what? God, save my family members. Save my friends. How about we start praying more boldly and going after the root of these things? It's time to start praying more boldly. Author Mark Batterson, whom I quoted earlier, also writes in his in the same book, The Circle Maker. He says, the greatest tragedy in life are the prayers that go unanswered simply because they go unasked. James 4, verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. See, I think when I asked earlier, what's the boldest prayer you've been praying lately? Some of you, if you were honest, would be like, oh, I haven't even been praying lately. And listen, I want to encourage you. You know, we're talking about praying bold prayers, and maybe you're in a place where you're like, man, I don't even have a prayer life. I haven't even been praying. I want to encourage you. You have to start somewhere. Before you can pray boldly, you have to just pray. And it starts with just talking out loud to God. And so in your car this week, just make your car your prayer closet. Just talk out loud to God. The simplest way I can describe it is just pretend Jesus is sitting right next to you and he's your friend. Some of you, that would freak you out like, oh, he's God. He's probably mad at me. No. Pretend he's your friend, okay? He's sitting right next to you, and just share what's going on in your life. Pretend he's a really powerful friend who can actually change things, and just talk to him about what's going on in your life. Some of you, that'll get you started and that'll completely change everything. One of my favorite things I've experienced in our growth group over the past few years was a few years ago in particular, we had a lot of people who were new to church, new to God in our group at that time. And, you know, through the few months of getting to know each other, I knew that some of them had not ever prayed before. And I knew, I'm like, as a pastor and as someone leading the group, I'm like, I want to help encourage them to grow in this. And so with this one particular group, we had talked about some of that. And we got to the end, and sometimes I would just pray to close and wrap everything up. Or we, you know, popcorn prayer, whoever wants to pray can pray. But this particular time, I was like, I want to engage those new people. I want to help them get started praying. And so I was a little ornery, you know. I was like, hey, tonight we're going to do something a little different. As we close to pray, or close in prayer, everybody pray for the person on your right. And very quickly, these newer people realized, that means I'm going to have to pray. And like, I could literally see them seize up with fear. It was like, what did he just say, you know? And I looked at them, I was like, oh, you know, is everything okay? You guys all right? Or what's going on here? And one of them was like, I've actually never prayed out loud before, and I'm kind of scared right now. And I was like, hey, listen, we're all friends here. You know, it's totally safe. And just say a sentence or two. Just whatever comes to your mind for that person next to you. Just whatever you hope for them, to bless them. Just say a sentence or two. Could be one sentence. And so we began to pray. And I tell you what, by the time we got done around that circle, three or four people who had never prayed out loud before prayed for the first time. And in my opinion, do you know whose prayers I thought were the most powerful and most beautiful that night? Was these new people who've never prayed before. Because the Bible says the more the words, the less the meaning. That's a daunting verse for a preacher, all right? Okay? You know, sometimes when you just pray very simply, you boil it down to the nuts and bolts and to the most impactful thing that needs said. And they prayed these simple things over the person next to him. And I was sitting there going, yes, like, man, if you could say one thing for that person, that is exactly what you should pray. And we just encouraged them after that prayer time, like, that was amazing. Keep praying. That was awesome. We need your prayers. And so I want to encourage you, if you never prayed before, just get started. Just talk out loud to God. But I also want to spend the rest of our time encouraging you in how we can pray more boldly. And I want to talk about three things that we can do in order to pray more boldly. And it's three things that we see them do in Acts 4, the passage we just read together. Number one is this. If we want to pray more boldly, we have to pray together. Pray in the presence of other people. The reality is this. Like, our prayers will become more bold when we're praying alongside other like-minded, sold-out Jesus freaks. All right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, because you go through seasons where sometimes your faith is kind of low, where maybe you're a little discouraged. Like I know I have. I've walked into prayer meetings where I'm the pastor and I walk in, it's like, okay, we're going to have some prayer. And maybe I'm kind of down that day. I'm kind of discouraged. I don't have much hope or expectation that God's really going to do anything that day, which, by the way, just a side note, if you're the one kind of leading things and you feel that way, it's always best to ask someone else to lead out in prayer, okay? Because you don't want to like discourage everyone like, oh, Jesus, you know, help us today. Be with us, Lord, be with us, you know, like. Like, ask somebody else, yeah, look for the most excited person and be like, hey, would you lead us in prayer? You know? And so I've been in some meetings where I'm kind of down and somebody else starts praying and maybe God's just done something in their life and they're like, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. And like in about 10 seconds, the Holy Spirit falls in that group and you're like, my faith goes through the roof. And I'm like, you know what? God is the God of the impossible and he can do anything at any time. You know what? God's going to do something great today. Why? Because somebody else had a lot of faith in a season when I didn't have much faith. We got to pray together with other believers. You know, sometimes you go through seasons where you need to borrow somebody else's faith, right? That shouldn't be your lifestyle. Like, that won't get you through life as a whole. But you need, in some seasons, to borrow somebody else's faith. I'm talking about, like, in Mark chapter 2. Where there's a paralyzed guy, you remember that story? And his friends bring him to Jesus. And it says Jesus is preaching in a house and it's so packed, there's even people standing outside and you can't get in. And so they carry their friend up onto the roof, which was most likely made out of clay and logs and stuff. And they literally dig through the roof in order to lower their friend right in front of Jesus as he's preaching, okay? Now just imagine that happened right now. Okay, like some people couldn't get in because it was just so packed in here. So they go on the roof and they sawzalling through this roof and digging through. And I'm like, oh, pay no attention. Just keep listening. It's okay. Right. But if a guy comes through the roof, like you can't avoid that. You kind of have to address that problem. Right. And so his friends lower him down. And you know what it says in Mark 2 verse 5? It says when Jesus saw their faith. Not the man's faith, his friend's faith. When he saw their faith, he said to the man, son, your sins are forgiven. And then he told him, son, get up, take your mat and go home. Walk on out of here. And he did. Jesus honored the faith of this man's friends. And so there are going to be some seasons and some days where you need to borrow the faith of some of your friends. But on the flip side, some of you have some friends in your life that you've been kind of despairing over, right? Like, oh God, they need Jesus. Oh, they need healing. They need salvation. They need this. They need that. Oh, can't they see? You know what? They can't see. Oh God, they're never going to see. Oh. And sometimes the enemy gets in there and stirs that up. And you're like, oh, they'll never see and they won't have faith and it's never going to get better. But what if God would honor your prayers and your faith and your intercession because you interceded for them? See, if we want to get more bold in our prayers, we got to pray together. Pray together. This past week, we had a meeting in our office with some of our prayer leaders to just talk about how can we make praying together more of a rhythm and part of the rhythm of our church's life. And so one simple thing that we're going to start doing is every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., we're going to have pre-service prayer right out here in the hallway in front of our resonance sign, and you're all invited, like everybody, whole church. If everybody comes, we'll just meet outside, all right? And so we're going to pray. We're going to go after God. We're just going to pray for that day. We're going to pray for anybody that has any needs, anything that's going on. Pray for our community, whatever God leads us to pray for that day. And then when we're done, you know, if everybody shows up, you know, some of you can stay for first service, and then everybody else can leave and go get breakfast and then come back for the next service or whatever. But we are going to make that part of a rhythm of our church. We also talked about a few ideas I'm real excited about for this fall, where we make prayer a greater emphasis, and we're going to go after God in a greater way. And so I'm just really excited about that, because I think that's going to embolden our prayers, and we're going to pray more boldly and see God move more boldly in our midst. And so we got to pray together. The second thing we have to do to pray more boldly is we have to remind ourselves who God is. Even when we're praying together, we need to remind each other who God is. When you're at home praying by yourself, start out your prayers by reminding yourself who God is. In verse 24, again, it says, "So when they heard about their threats and the persecutions, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said," and this is what they said, this is how they started their prayer, "Lord, you are God, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." They've got a major problem. They're facing some dire circumstances. And when they stand up and begin to pray, they start by declaring who God is over this situation. "You are God Almighty. All things are possible for you, God. You can do anything at any time. With just a word, you spoke all things into existence." This is who God is. Listen, if we meet after the service and you come up to me and I'm like, "Hey, I'm Aaron," and you're like, "Hey, Aaron, you're a preacher, you're a father, you're a husband," you know, I'd look at you and be like, "Yeah, and?" Like, I know that about myself, right? I don't need reminded of who I am, right? They're not reminding God of who he is. He knows who he is. What are they doing? They're declaring who he is over their situation and over their lives. Why? Because I think they struggle with the same thing we struggle with so much. That so often the sum of our prayers becomes us complaining to God about our problems. And we need to stop complaining to God about our problems, and we need to start reminding our problems who our God is. Amen? That's where we get overwhelmed, is when we think our problems are bigger than our God. God is almighty. God can do whatever he wants. He spoke all things into existence. And so whatever you're going through, whatever need you need met today, I want to assure you God can meet that need. You have to remind yourself who he is. One of the greatest ways you can do this is by praying the names of God over your situation. All throughout scripture, God reveals different names that he wants to be known by. Because a name reveals someone's identity, who they are, and God is infinite. No one name could sum up who God is. In fact, the name, his primary name, it's I am who I am. It's like, you can't really fathom who I am, so I'll just tell you I am who I am, right? But all throughout scripture, he reveals different names for himself to reveal a different aspect of his nature. And so let me give you an example. Maybe you need to pray more personally, more specifically, and declare one of these names of God over your situation today. For example, do you have a financial need today? He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Do you need healing physically, emotionally, mentally today? He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Are you feeling alone today? He's Emmanuel, God with us. Do you feel overlooked or forgotten? He is El Roi, the God who sees me. Do you have an impossible situation that you need him to move in today? He is El Shaddai, God Almighty, with whom all things are possible, nothing is impossible, and anything can happen. This is the God that we serve. We need to be reminded who our God is, and we need to remind our life and our circumstances and our problems and our enemies who our God is. This is how we can pray more boldly. Some of you hear that and you think, "Well, that's great. You know, I believe God to be those things, and he is Almighty God. But, you know, honestly, Pastor Aaron, that terrifies me." You know, you say, "Pray like Jesus is sitting next to you." That terrifies me because I'm not sure where I'm at with God. I'm a little fearful of God. Maybe you've sinned in some way recently, and you just feel far from him. You feel separated from him. Do you know what his name is for you today? If that's you, his name is Jesus Christ. And he died on a cross for you so that nothing could separate you from his love. He traded places with you. He is the propitiation, or the exchange, the covering of our sin. He is the atonement. He is our friend. And he is the friend who is even closer than a brother. This is who he is for you today. And sometimes you needed to remind yourself of who he is and start reminding your life and your circumstances of who your God is. Last thing I want to talk about today that we need to do to pray more boldly, and it's so obvious that maybe we might forget to do it, is this. Number three, we need to pray for more boldness. Ask God to give you more boldness. This is exactly what they do. This is the whole point of their prayer. They're just declaring who God is. They're describing the situation just so they can get to this down in verse 29. It says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." They're like, "God, we want you to give us boldness. And the way we want you to do that is, God, we want you to do a miracle. We need a miracle in this situation. Do a sign, do a wonder, do something we've never seen before." Is it any coincidence that immediately after they ask for this, the place where they're meeting is shaken? And God answers boldly because they were bold enough to ask for God to move in a bold way. The last verse there says, when they had prayed, not before they had prayed, but when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, they already had the Holy Spirit. This was another special filling. This was inspiring them. This was giving them courage and empowerment to go out and do what it says they did next, that they spoke the word of God with even more boldness. I mean, think about that. They've just testified in front of the ruling council. They could be killed for this. "We believe in Jesus. He's the only name under heaven by which we can be saved." And they threaten them that if they do it again, they'll kill them. And their response to that is, "Hey, God, we need some more boldness so we can do that some more." Consider their threats, God. Move in a mighty way. See, they weren't praying about the symptoms. They were going after the root. Show these people who you are. Give us boldness, God. Give us boldness. Give us boldness. If you were here last week at the end of my message, I talked about boldly being a witness for God and how I gave some challenges, you know, to share your faith, invite somebody to church, maybe do a Facebook Live. Saw lots of you guys doing that this week, heard some stories. It was awesome. At the end of that service, though, I prayed. And I remember praying every service that God would give every single person here more boldness to share our faith. And so I saw you guys doing that this week. And to be honest, that's kind of what I expected to happen, those types of things. But God answered that prayer in a way that I didn't expect this week. It was an average Wednesday night for our family. We were at my son's Little League baseball game. We were up in Peebles. And Peebles has a really nice facility up there. They have three or four fields, beautiful area. And they've got a playground in the middle. And all the fields were filled up that night. And so at the playground, all of the kids, the siblings of the kids who were playing, were on this playground. Now, the playground wasn't that big, and there was a lot of kids on it. I would liken it to if you drop a piece of fruit on the ground, and like there's so many ants on the fruit. You're like, "I think that's a piece of fruit, but I can't tell for all the ants." Like, I was like, "I think that's a playground, but there's so many kids on it, I can't quite be sure." But they were just crawling all over this thing, which we were there very thankful for, because it was peace and quiet to enjoy the game, you know? And so they were over there playing, and the game got over with, and we won, by the way. We did win, which is important because, you know, winning is not everything. You know, it is the only thing. And so, sorry. Save that for Father's Day. Save it for Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. So, you know, they had a great time and they had fun. They had fun. That's what mattered. All right. They had fun. And so, but we did win, which I took note of as a dad. And so, and my boy got a hit. Way to go. And so it was over and we were packing up. And my daughter, Isabel, who's 11 years old, runs up from the playground and she's with one of her best friends, Kai, who's like 10. And they run up, and they're just excited, and they're smiling ear to ear. And Kai, her friend, goes, "Tell him, Belle, tell him." And then she looks at me, she's like, "It was awesome. It was awesome. Tell him, tell him." And I was like, "What's going on, guys?" And my daughter, Isabel, goes, "I told somebody about Jesus." And I was like, "What?" And I It's like that verse that says, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, Jesus prayed, you know, and I just think the Holy Spirit just stirred my heart, and I instantly got the tears, you know. I was like, this pollen is crazy, you know, and so, but I was like, what happened, you know? And I was like, tell me about it. And so they both took turns telling the story. It was awesome. And I was like, what happened? And Kai goes, well, you know, we were playing and Belle comes up to me and there's all these kids. And she's like, I feel like I'm supposed to tell some of these kids about Jesus. And so they're like looking around and Kai sees there's these two little girls about their age standing by themselves. And she looks at my daughter and goes, Belle, now's your chance. Those two girls over there, now's your chance, go. And so my daughter goes, all right. And so she's emboldened by her friend. You know, sometimes you got to borrow that faith and go after it. And so she goes up to these two little girls and she walks right up to him. She goes, hi. And they're like, hi. She's like, you guys go to church anywhere? And one of them says, no, I don't go to church anywhere. And the other one goes, yeah, we go every now and then. And she goes, do you guys know who Jesus is? And I love that. You know, just forget the small talk, go right for the jugular, you know? And they both go, yeah, we know who Jesus is. And she goes, cool. And she goes, do you believe in him? And these two little girls go, yeah, we do. And I'll never forget what she said next. She said, cool, let's go play. And so they went and played. And that's it. That's the whole story. But listen, she didn't know how they were going to respond, did she? She didn't know what they were going to say. It took just as much boldness for her to go up to them and ask them, do you go to church, right? Ask that next question. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe in him? I was so proud of her in that moment. I was like, honey, that is so awesome. And I forgot about the baseball game. I even forgot that we won the baseball game, you know. But I want to assure you this, church, we did celebrate on the way home by getting some ice cream, all right? Just want you to know, yes. Where I'm like eating that ice cream, like, thank you, Lord. And here's what occurred to me as I'm eating my ice cream. It's like, I asked God to give us all boldness. I didn't even expect him to do it in my own family. I had no faith, no expectation that he was going to do that, but he did it anyway. See, sometimes if you just show up and you just ask, even if your faith is not that at that big of a level, sometimes God is so gracious and good, he just does it anyway, and he moves boldly on your behalf. See, I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I didn't have that faith or that expectation last week, because even the early church didn't always have that faith or that expectation. Acts chapter 12 is one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. It says that Peter's been arrested and he's in prison and they're going to execute him the next day. They've already executed James, the brother of John. This is the real deal. It's going to happen. And so the church does what they know they should do. They get together and they pray at the house of John Mark's mother. And the Bible says, while they're there praying, an angel shows up in the jail, opens the doors. And I love the attention to detail in the story. It says he kind of kicks Peter in the side. Wake up, you know. Peter's like, oh my gosh. And he wakes up. He sets him free. Leads him out of the prison. It says Peter thinks it's a dream, like a God dream. Like, oh, you know, cool, I'll follow you in this dream. And they go out into the city. And when they get out into the city, the angel disappears. And Peter realizes, oh my goodness, this is real life. And I love the assumption of Peter. God just set me free. People must have been praying. And so he goes to the house of John Mark's mother, where they used to gather. And of course, they're there praying for him in that moment. Can you imagine? You're there at a prayer meeting praying for Peter's release. Peter shows up and he knocks on the door. It says a servant girl, Rhonda, comes to the door and he's like, it's me, Peter. God set me free. Let me in. She's so excited. Scripture literally says she forgets to open the door and goes back into the prayer meeting and is like, guys, Peter's here. Now you would think they would be excited, but they weren't. Do you know how they responded? Acts chapter 12, they literally say, you're out of your mind. I mean, I know we're here to pray for that to happen, but I mean, come on, you know? It says, when she kept insisting, they said it must be his angel. They had more faith that an angel would show up at the door than that God would answer their prayers and actually do what they were asking for. But it says, Peter, I love this, he's still knocking. He's just out there like, someone let me in, please. And when they opened the door, saw him and they were astonished. Wow, I mean, I know that's why we were gathering, but we didn't actually expect God to move, right? But sometimes if you just show up and if you just ask and if you just declare who you know God is, that he's the God of the impossible, that he can do anything, even if your faith isn't that great, sometimes God's so good and gracious, he'll just do it anyway and he'll move boldly on your behalf. So here's what I want to do. We're going to have a time of prayer as we close today. And we're going to have some people standing on the sides of the room. And I want to challenge you to be bold and go pray with them. Listen, you may not have much faith for your situation or your circumstance, but why don't you borrow the faith of someone else? I'm telling you, I know they'll have faith for you. And they'll declare who God is over your life. And they'll ask for a miracle on your behalf. And I'm begging you to take advantage of this time. Because I think the greatest tragedy that could happen today is if some of you walk out of here and nothing has changed in your situation simply because you did not ask. But what if you go and ask, and what if everything changes? Because God moves boldly because you prayed boldly for him to move in that situation. And so I don't know what you need today. Maybe you need forgiveness of sins. You need salvation. You need to know that you're going to end up in heaven and you want to know that for sure. Go and pray with somebody today. Maybe you need healing in your body or mentally or emotionally. Or maybe you know someone in a dire circumstance. Go and pray with somebody today. I don't know what your need is. Maybe you need provision for a financial need. You need a different job. You need God to move. Some of you, if you're facing an impossible situation, go and ask for a miracle. We'll pray for you. God is the God of the impossible. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of this time. And so we're going to sing one more song. We're going to declare what we believe, who God is over our lives, over this situation in your life. We're going to declare together that we believe in him, that he's the God of miracles. And so would you go ahead and stand on up? And I want to pray for you all. And then after I'm done praying, go and pray with somebody today. Take advantage of this time. Let me pray for you today. In the name that is above every name, the only name under heaven by which we're saved, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who was and is to come, the great I am, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you today. And God, we come to you as our Jehovah Jireh. God, provide for every need in this room today. Lord, we come to you as Jehovah Rapha. Heal every sickness and disease and broken body and mental or emotional problem in this room today. Lord, we come to you as Emmanuel. You are with us. Make your presence known here today. Lord, we come to you as El Roi, the God who sees me and every other person in this room. God, minister to and comfort those who feel forgotten and overlooked today. We come to you as our paraclete, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our helper, our comforter. We come to you, Lord, as El Shaddai, God Almighty. All things are possible for you. Nothing is impossible, and anything can happen today. So whatever is asked for in this place, Lord, this is my request, that you would just say the word. Just say the word and we'll be forgiven, saved, healed, and delivered. Father, just say the word and those mountains will move. Father, just say the word. And Lord, I just want to thank you in advance for how you're going to move today and the prayers that you're going to answer on behalf of your people as we pray boldly in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. In your great and mighty name, we ask these things. Amen.